Thank you, ladies. That song is a beautiful song, but it has a great message to us. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. I'm glad the Lord can keep us safe as we go down through life. And it is a privilege to preach here again at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's always a privilege to preach the Word of God. And I, for the past few years, I've not tried to preach but once on Sunday, but I preached up in John City this morning, and I couldn't turn down the opportunity Brother Jody gave me to preach here tonight. So I went home this afternoon and ate Sister Ellen's chicken dinner and took a little rest. And I hadn't had time to come up with much new, but I'm preaching a sermon I preached 10 years ago, so you'll forget everything but a few of the illustrations probably. And some of the things you've heard before, but they're in this sermon tonight. I believe it's what the Lord wants me to preach in this service. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Samuel, the second chapter. 2 Samuel, the second chapter. Page 356 in your what? Old Schofield reference. I love it sounds good, doesn't it? It just, New International Version, something sounds wrong about that, doesn't it? Your King James Version, page 356, your Schofield Reference Bible. Let's look at the first four verses of the second chapter of 2 Samuel. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go? Whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife of the Carmelite. And his men that were with him, did David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this privilege one more time, Lord, of standing in this pulpit here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Lord, and I appreciate every time the opportunity of standing and preaching the infallible, inerrant Word of God that'll last when the world's on fire. Thank you, it'll help us as we go down through life. Thank you for the precious Word of God tonight. Bless our hearts now as we look into the Word of God together. Speak to us, Lord, by your Spirit, O Holy Spirit. Would you anoint the word, anoint this preacher, anoint these dear people. Lord, we do pray for Brother Jody. God, I don't know what's going on, but you do, and we know you're able to help us. Help him to look beyond himself and look to the Lord. Give him peace and know that the Lord is going to be with him. Now help us tonight. Help each one of us. Speak to us. And Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Touch me as I preach. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to speak to you on three things needed for successful Christian living. And it came to pass after this, as we see in verse 1, that is after the death of Saul and Jonathan and the defeat of the armies of Israel by the Philistines. Now get the picture. This is a critical juncture in David's life. Saul has hunted him down like a wild animal for years now. And Saul is dead. Israel has been defeated by the ungodly Philistines. And the throne is empty. And David is a fugitive, sitting in the midst of a burned out city of Ziklag. Now, should David rush into the power vacuum in Israel and set himself up as a rightful king? Did not Samuel anoint him king of Israel at the direction of the Lord God of Israel? David was an impatient man and a man of action, but He had learned his lesson and would do nothing until he found the will of God. So David calls God's man Abiathar, and who had the ephod, and he inquires of the Lord about what his next move should be. And David, now, he was among the Philistines, but he had a powerful army with him. And he could have gone in and by force elevated himself to the throne. But was this the will of God? No, it wasn't. And the Lord led him to go up to Hebron with his men and their families. And David found out later that this was best. And as soon as he moved into Hebron, the men of Judah came and anointed him their king. And in a few years after the political turmoil had settled down and cleared up, Israel made him their king. And the word Hebron means alliance or communion. And how fitting that this word here in Ziklag, out of the will of God, David out of the will of God, and how fitting that God leads his wandering child, first of all, back into communion with him. And tonight, there are four wonderful verses on God's leading in the life of David, written 3,000 years ago. And there's three things in these four verses that I want to point out that are needed for successful Christian living in this century. And first of all, and all of us need this. I'm glad the Lord laid this on because I know I needed it down through the years. And everyone seated in this auditorium needs these three things. First of all, if we're going to be a successful Christian and have any influence for the Lord, we need a prayer life. We see this in verse 1. It came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." And David did not pray about going to and living among the Philistines. And he got in a mess. But David will not make a move without taking it to the Lord in prayer and get direction from heaven now. I believe the first step in a successful Christian life is living a daily prayer life where we take everything to the Lord in prayer. Brother Mays, oh, I miss Brother Mays. He had a great influence for God all across this area, and I miss him much. But his dear mother said to Mays one time, he said, "In life, when you don't know what to do, just breathe that holy name in prayer." Isn't that good advice a mother to give her son? Just when you don't know what to do, just breathe that holy name in prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And probably every great man of God down through the years, everyone, he couldn't have been a great man of God without prayer. Every one of them had a great prayer life. Let me just mention two or three. John Wesley would get up every morning and spend 2 hours in prayer as soon as he got up. And I'm skipping some of these. Luther said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day." And that's the same with us. If we don't spend some time every day in prayer, the devil will get the victory in our lives today. And then David Brainerd would groan in agony, lying down in the snow, and would melt in the, and his body would melt the snow, and he'd be praying for the. Some of you, when are you going to go up to Lancaster, Brother Gary? Okay, all that area north of Lancaster, in New York and Pennsylvania, those mountains. David Brainerd went into those areas when it was completely wild to reach those Indians. And he would get down and pray in the snow till the snow melted and got a hold of God. And Indians would come from all over those mountains into where he was and get under conviction and get born again. And prayer has, we need to pray today, folks, if we're going to be used of God. And I don't want to put myself in the same category with all these men of God, but I want to testify, I could not have stayed here 46 years without spending time in prayer and getting help and direction from the Lord. I know when I first got here, the Lord taught me how to pray. I'd already believed in it, but I'll tell you, when we first got here, we started having growth down there at the funeral home, where the funeral home is now. We didn't have room, and so we voted to build and come up. We built the family over there, the chapel, what's the chapel now. And I'll tell you, I didn't know that in most churches, Brother Jody, you're listening to this too, building programs, you were lucky to have the building program you have and not get in trouble. But the first building program I got in trouble here, and you've heard all about, try not to make it long, but I mean, trouble erupted. We voted easy in the church business meeting to vote to relocate because we didn't have room down there for our growth. And as soon as we voted, some of the people, and I didn't even know a lot of them, they were upset. Their names were on the church roll, but I'd never seen them before until we voted to build and spend the money of relocation. And they just didn't want to leave the graveyard. Old Dr. Lakin got up and told some of them down there. He said, the Lord might leave you here at the graveyard and raise a monument for you out there. They didn't like that a bit. But anyway, to make a long story short, I mean trouble came. After we voted, they went to the John City. I've told you this before, but it shows you how the Lord taught me to pray. I already believed in it and did some, but I mean when your back's to the wall, you learn if there's any praying in you, you'll pray. And so they threatened my life. And one woman came out two or three times right in my front yard there and told me I was going to be put 6 feet under. And I even told Ellen that your husband's going to be killed. And I'll tell you, it got pretty hot. But I needed that. I needed to learn to pray. And really, that's not just a little simple prayer, but get hold of God. Folks, there's a difference in praying and then getting hold of God. But when my wife was, we had two little children, and my wife's expecting another one, and they had a paper going around getting people to sign to run the preacher off and not move up to the new church we built. And so they put it in the paper. I went up and tried to keep the editor putting it in, and I said, that wasn't, the church didn't authorize that. He said, I can't get mixed up in a church fight. I could understand. But anyway, that church was packed down there that day. They were going to run me off and vote not to come up here. But that morning, Sunday morning, the deacons met in my front room of my house. I never forget. They were on their knees praying and crying before the Lord, weeping. And I didn't know what to do. They was going to run me off and vote not to go up to the church. And we'd already had it built. And so I went over on the lake. And let me turn to Isaiah 43. Just a second, I get over there. And I told the men in my house before I left there, at prayer meeting, I said, you go over and over and start Sunday school. I'm going to go over on the lake and pray. I knew I had to pray. My back was the wall. And they were going to run me off. And I thought, well, what can I do now? If they run me off, I'd have two children and one on the way. And so you can pray when you get in a situation like that, I'll guarantee you. And I went on the lake and poured out my heart to the Lord and said, Lord, you called me. You led me to this church, I know. And Lord, you're going to have to take care of me. And then he gave me Isaiah 43:3, when thou passest through the waters. And the Holy Spirit used that verse there to speak to my heart. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Oh, the Holy Spirit was really, speaking to my heart through it. neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I got up off my knees. I had peace, God. I didn't know what the Lord, he didn't tell me what he was going to do, but I just had peace that the Lord is going to be with me and take care of the situation. I know I came up back, and that funeral home was packed full of people. It was Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church then. And there they were, ready to get up and have a business meeting and run me off and not come up here. And I preached on the lame man at the gate, beautiful, and gave the invitation. And the Lord gave me help to preach, and four people came forward and got right with God. And I told the deacons, now when I give the invitation, I'll come down. And they got around me, and Betty Jenkins is back there. And I said, go over, one of you deacons, go over and stand by Betty. And the other one went over and stood by the piano, and the rest of the deacons got around me and took me out of the service. And I didn't realize it. One man outside, I went over to shake hands with him. He went like that, and he told somebody later on, I had a knife in my pocket. I took it to knife Preacher Lashley that day. So, folks, when the Lord sees you through things like that, listen, I wouldn't have been worth 5 cents as pastor of this church till I learned to pray. And it's not your preaching, it's not your teaching, it's not your methods, it's your prayer that moves the hand of God. Now, let me get back here now. And so, I know we had, then when we started to build, let me just quickly now, we had trouble about, we lost about 10 or 15 people when we built from the offices back through the end of the hall there. We built that, and we lost 15 people. They didn't like it because we built that. And old Willard Tomlin, when he found out we were going to build this building, he said, Bud, he said, they almost got you the first time. And he said, they almost got you the second time. He said, they'll get you this time. And what he did, he made me pray. And it's good to pray. And aren't you glad we can pray and get a hold of God? If you're saved, go to the Lord and cast your burdens on the Lord. And so outside of the, Brother Jody, outside of your office there, we had little bushes out there then. And I got down every day. I've told you this before, but some of you haven't heard this. And I got down every day all through the building, this building program, and prayed every day because Willard said they're going to get you. And I, listen, and it wasn't funny then. I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't a laughing matter then. But I prayed, and the Lord somehow, we didn't have a bit of trouble getting this building built. So, It is good to pray, and so each morning I'd come up here and pray for the needs of the church and the problems related to this building program, I just couldn't make it in my ministry here without learning to pray. But let me skip some of this and go on here, and then so first of all, you need to establish, if you want to have success in your Christian life and in your work for God, you're going to have to establish a daily prayer life. And if you're going to be successful in this life, there's only one way, and that's first of all, through prayer. And every kid needs a daddy, a praying daddy. Did you know that? Every kid needs a praying daddy. And every wife needs a praying husband. And every church, Brother Jody, needed a praying pastor. And they need a praying, that's the greatest, brother, you're a great preacher, Brother Jody. But prayer will see you through. I started to call him son there. But anyway, Brother Jody, every preacher needs a prayer life. And every Christian needs a prayer life. Then second, if you want to be a success for the Lord, first of all, you need to have a prayer life. And then, you need to be in the will of God. That's very, very important. Being in the will of God. Look at verses 2, and let me go back to go back here to 2 Samuel. Look at verses 2 and 3 of 2 Samuel again. So David went up hither, and his two wives also, he had got to the Lord told him to go up to Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail Nabal's wife the Carmelite, and his men that were with him, did David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. So Dr. George W. Truett, the great former pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. The greatest knowledge in this world is to know the will of God. And then to do the will of God, he said, is the greatest achievement. Find the will of God, folks. And God will use you. And then do whatever the will of God is. And God will bless you. I remember, do we still support Swante Lindquist, Brother Jody? And he was a, first of all, he was a missionary to the Muslims, and he came to Jamaica. The Lord changed his from the West Africa, and he spoke here years ago. I hadn't heard him in years. But anyway, he was a hard and difficult, slow work among the Muslims. And I said, Brother Fonda, if you're just interested in numbers, he couldn't work among the Muslims, could you? He said, I get so discouraged at times I could not stay if I did not know I was in the will of God. So we need to get in the will of God and stay in the will of God. It'll give us great joy and great peace as we serve the Lord. Not only do missionaries and preachers and full-time Christian workers need to know the will of God, but I believe God has a plan for every person seated here tonight. Every member of this church, God has a will for you. Find that will and do it. Now, there's three steps we see from this passage of Scripture in being in the will of God. They're found right in our text. Now, I don't want to mislead you. It's not always easy to find God's will. But the Bible clearly teaches that we can know God's will. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? He shall direct thy path. So you can know the will of God if you would seek it with all your heart. That's the first point. First step number one in finding the will of God is seeking. In verse 1, David learned his lesson, and he would not move now till he found out God's will. David sought the will of God by inquiring of the Lord, and the Lord said that David said, shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah? So we see David seeking the will of God. And then, so the first step is to seek the will of God out of a sincere heart. And second is finding. David said, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? The Lord said, go up. David said, where? And the Lord said, into Hebron. You know, the Lord doesn't play games with us, folks. If we're sold out to the Lord, and putting him first in our lives, we can know the will of God. Every person in here, if you're born again, you can know the will of God. If you're wanting to do the will of God, if you're sold out to the Lord. Jeremiah 29, 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You can find him. I've told you before many times, and I'm going to tell you right here. I had 19 and a half years in college and seminary, graduate school. And I got out, when I got out of seminary, came back, I had nowhere to go. I'd spent all this time, God had called me, I knew that. But I got out of school and I couldn't find a church, I couldn't find anywhere to go in the will of God for a ministry. And so I went back home to my mama. It's a good place to go home, back to mama. And I had to live off of her, and she just, all she had was her Social Security. But we had plenty to eat. And every day, I'd take my Bible and go up in the Saudi Mountains. And I'd pray and walk and sing over those mountains and praying. And I'd got on my knees and said, Lord, you've saved me and called me. You have had all this education. And Lord, surely, there's somewhere across America that you can have a place for me. And I'd go up there every day and fellowshipping and crying to God for his leadership to open a door for me to serve the Lord. And finally, I got an opportunity to go in Youth for Christ up in Illinois. But first, I had come over here to Oak Grove for a revival, Brother Richard Ratliff. And when I first got there, I mean, I'd been walking up in those mountains with God. You know, you go up in the mountains every day for weeks and weeks, folks, and you'll get close to God more to even know it. You know that? I'm glad the Lord didn't let me realize that I was getting close to him, but I would feel his presence. But anyway, I loaded up, but first before I went to Illinois, I came over here and held this revival of Brother Richard Ratliff. And as soon as I got over to Oak Grove, Brother Ratliff took me around to all the Sunday school classes that first Sunday morning. And I'd go in and just give a little short testimony, and I didn't realize that the blessing of God was on me. And they started crying, weeping in every classroom, adults, kids, young people, everybody. And I was there for 2 weeks, and we had souls saved about every night. And my brother came up from Bob Jones on the last Sunday, and I'd run out of sermons. I said, "Don, I'm glad to have you got to preach tomorrow. I'm going to give them some of my reruns here." And on that final Sunday afternoon, that showed how the Lord, he wanted me to see Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And they went over and used the baptistry at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The Lord, in the will of God, he led me up into Illinois, but he showed me, and I didn't even realize it, that in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is a place where I'd spend all these years. He didn't show me that. He showed me, but I wasn't ready for it at that time to understand it. So I went on up into Illinois, had a minister among the teens, great ministry. But while I was up there, I preached in the Science Ridge Mennonite Church one Sunday, meeting in a schoolhouse because they had the church ready for Bible time or Bible school, something like that. And I preached, and guess who was sitting out in the audience at that school? Sister Lashley. And in the will of God, I found God's place to serve him. And in the will of God, I wouldn't get married because I couldn't find a wife who knew how to pray. And the Lord took me up to Illinois, and it wasn't long before Sister Lashley proposed to me. She says, "Gene, you said that so much. You're beginning to believe that, aren't you?" But in the will of God, he gave me the wife that I needed and the place and someone that would serve with me all these years. And God knows my heart. And down deep, I want the will of God for my life, whatever it is, the rest of my days on this earth. As the song says, all the way, my Savior leads me. What else can I ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Get in the will of God, and he'll lead you. And let him lead you the rest of your days on this earth. Now, I've got to look at you got the clock up in front of you up there now. You can't hardly miss that. Brother Jody, I think they have a message for you in putting that clock up there, so you know when it's dinner time on Sunday. Well, anyway, where was I before that clock? Let me find out where I am here first, just a minute now. So find God's will, get in God's will, and then stay in God's will till you're called home to glory. So first of all, in order to have a successful Christian life, you must have a prayer life. Number two, in order to have a successful Christian life, you need to be in the center of the will of God, smack dab. Find out what God will show you if you want to know, and if you'll pray and seek his will and his face on it, he'll show you. And then thirdly, look at verse 4 of chapter 2 Samuel 2. And the men of Judah came and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told, they anointed him king over the house of Judah. And so in order to have a successful Christian life, we also need an anointing from God. And David was anointed king of Israel first, back there by the prophet Samuel in the secrecy of his father's house. And now he's anointed the second time there in verse 4 as king over his the people of Judah. And David needed this fresh anointing with oil. And before he assumed the position of king of Judah, now the anointing of oil signified the power and blessing and authority of God was upon him. And there's a great lesson in spiritual power and blessing in this second anointing for us. I believe when we as God's children face a great crisis in life, and we're all going to have crises in life, you wouldn't be worth shooting at sunrise if you didn't have a crisis every now and then. But I believe when we as God's children face a great crisis in life or take some new job for the Lord, that we need a new anointing. Every time we have to take a new job or service for the Lord, we need a new anointing or need touch of God's Spirit in our lives. Folks, we just can't do it in the energy of the flesh. We need the Lord's help and the Spirit of God to help us. I believe when a person gets saved, they are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. That's the new birth. A quick going down the Romans road is not the new birth. The Spirit of God has to be in the mix. And I believe after we get saved, then there comes time for a new anointing of God's Spirit, our new feeling of God's Spirit, our new touch of God, or just this season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful just to feel the wonderful presence of God. Call it what you will, but we can't look back to what God did 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. Now and then, we need something new from the Lord. We must have it. And when we leave college and go out in the world or take a husband or wife, or when we become parents, when we go out into the Lord's work, or when we take a Sunday school class or a bus route or a job for the Lord, we should spend time waiting on God for a new touch from God. God wants to bless you with His presence, and you can't do a thing for the Lord without His presence and help. To put it in the common vernacular, there are times when we need our spiritual battery recharged with the power from on high, or we're going to fail. We'll fail miserably. And before God sent Moses to deliver His children out of Egypt, God revealed Himself new to Moses. How? At the burning bush. Moses saw a bush that was on fire but not consumed. God said, "Moses, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground." He then revealed Himself to Moses and said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Jacob wrestled with the angel of God all night before he faced his brother the next day, who was threatening to kill him. And at daybreak, the Lord touched him and said, "Your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and man." The way to have power with God and man is to pray and hold on to God till you get that new touch of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, the prophet Isaiah, what happened to him? When his best friend, the King Uzziah, died, he saw the Lord at that time, and he saw Him high and lifted up and sitting on the throne. And one of the seraphims flew with a live coal from off the altar, and Isaiah received a new touch from God. Now, God deals with every individual differently. He doesn't give any two people the same experience. He only spoke to a person once out of a burning bush. And only once has a man wrestled with the angel of God all night. Only once has someone looked into the throne room and saw in the throne room of God like Isaiah. But I believe every child of God can have a touch or a sense of God's presence and power in your life. When a person gets this touch or this new anointing or this new feeling, it would just, here's what it'd be, that what I'm talking about now. It's just a sweet sense of God's presence in your life. There's nothing like it, folks. Nothing like it. And it's not speaking in tongues. It's not seeing visions. It's not entire sanctifications. It's not seeing a 900-foot Jesus. No, it's just the sweet presence of the Lord. That's what I want as I go down through life. All these experiences, the experience I want just every now and then, I want the sweet feel of sweet presence of the Lord. Don't you? Don't you want His presence every now and then? It's there for you if you're saved. And you need a new touch every now and then. And so, do you need, first of all, a prayer life? Do you need to be in the will of God? Are you searching for the will of God? If you found the will of God for your life, do you need tonight, I'm sure that many in this building, you need a new touch from God, of God's Spirit in your life. And I want you to do as David did. First of all, he inquired of the Lord, and God revealed his will to him, and then he obeyed the will of God. And that's what we need to do. At Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we need to find the will of God. We need to have a prayer life, seek the will of God, and then do it the rest of our days on this earth. And that's my message tonight. And I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you're here tonight and God's put it on your heart, said, "Preacher, I want the will of God in my life." Oh, not your will is best, but God's will is best. Say, "Lord, I want your will." I'd like for every born-again believer to pray that right now in your heart. "Lord, I want your will more than anything else in my life. It's just whatever your will is, Lord, I'll be satisfied. If you'll reveal it to me, I'll show you." But first of all, you're going to have to start praying, having a prayer time. Every day, spending time in prayer and then seeking the will of God. And if you'll seek the will of God, you can find it. You can find it. And God wants to reveal. If you don't know the perfect will of God in your life tonight, God wants to reveal it to you. And Brother Gary, just start with my head. Just start playing, please, if you will, softly. This morning, this evening, folks, what you need is to find out, start, promise to God that you're going to spend time every day in prayer. I'm glad I started that many years ago. In this old book every day. And God will speak to you and He'll show you His will for your life. And if God's speaking to you, we're going to have a time of prayer just in closing here tonight. If you'd say, "Preacher, I want to do the will of God more than anything else in this world. And I do want to spend time in prayer and in the Word of God every day." And God will reveal it. He'll reveal that to you if you just seek His face. And while she plays softly, just get up. Let's have a number. If God speaks, just get up and come to this altar and say, "I want a new touch of God on my life." That's right. Come on. If God's speaking to you, I want the will of God. I want to spend time in the Word of God every day. I want to spend time in prayer. I want to seek the face of God. I want a new touch from God. And I want the will of God in my life. And if there's someone here that's unsaved tonight, you come and we'll pray with and help you to get peace that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If you're not saved, you come on. God's speaking to you. Anyone else, come to this altar and say, "I want the will of God more than anything else. And if God revealed it to me, I'll do it." And just spend time in the Word of God in prayer every day. And God will bless your home. Mama, you need to do this. And Daddy, you need to do it for your children's sake. You need to spend time every day praying for your family, for your husband, your wife. Let's just sing that round, Brother Gary.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Just keep praying
until
you get through praying.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Sing it out now.
I surrender all.
Thank you, preacher. You can look this way. By the way, if you're new in our church, preacher has written an autobiography, the stories you've heard tonight, and many, many more in that book. It's available in the library, paperback, and you will be excited to see how God worked in his life and really in our church and built the foundation for the church. So that's available there in the bookstore, and it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you, preacher. Great truths, folks. Great truths. And if we will learn to do these things, if we'll pray, if we'll seek the Lord's direction and a new filling from heaven, God will use you. God will direct you. And thank you for that, preacher, for you made it all the way to the end. That was good. See, you can preach twice on Sunday.
Well, I feel like we're from the barrel of the sword.
Amen. All right. Let's see. Bob, you have an announcement? Teen parent meeting right when we say amen. That'll be downstairs. And a mixed ensemble will be practiced right after the service also. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the practical teaching and preaching from your word tonight. God, we thank you. We can pray. We can come and talk to the God of the universe, the God who knows all things, the God who is in control of all things. And Lord, you're able to direct us. Show us your path. Thank you for how you've worked in Preacher Ms. Lassley's lives all these years and through it have built this church. And Lord, we thank you that we can have a new anointing from heaven. And God, we pray that you would empower us and fill us. God, that we might make our lives count for all eternity. Lord, help us to learn these lessons and put them into practice every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.